This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What an interesting way and a unique way to make a living and see the world, to spend your entire year preparing for and watching tape of the NFL draft. It takes a very unique talent to do that. We've got a great guy at CBS Sports and Chris Trapasso, who is that guy. And I'm always curious, after all of that work and speculation and reporting and research and just hours and hours watching tape, when you get a chance to breathe, how you look back at the draft that has consumed not just your life, but the life of every NFL executive whose job it is to try and properly prepare their team for the future. So Mr. Trapasso is back. He was with us last week, and he's going to give us a 2020 hindsight view. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. A really interesting draft, and there's just so much to hit. I normally would sort of let you start wherever you want, but as a Bears fan, I'm just going to go straight to Justin Fields. What is your assessment? What do you make of Chicago moving up for presumably their quarterback of the future? Although I've heard that before.
It is a necessary move that they needed to make, and I really applauded them for doing it. I didn't think from pick number 20 overall they were going to be able to do that, but as they saw Justin Fields fall, they made that ascension. And with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy really on the hot seat, they need to make the playoffs and maybe even win a playoff game to keep their jobs and to, just like you're mentioning, fortify that quarterback spot for the first time in seemingly forever. It was the correct decision. There was no reason for Justin Fields to fall, even to pick 11. He was an elite quarterback prospect. So there were a lot of other teams, the Washington football team, the Patriots, that were kind of rumored to be a club that would move up to pick Justin Fields, but it was ultimately the Bears. So I applaud them for making that ascension.
Chris, not that, you know, we focus so much on the first round, but looking, mm-hmm. taking a broader view, and you certainly include obviously the first round, but the entirety of the draft, all of it, you know, rounds 1 through 7, is there a team or a couple teams that to you really just crushed the whole draft more or less all the way through?
This is going to be music to your ears, Bill. I think the Chicago Bears had the best draft of any team in the entire NFL. And it's not just about Justin Fields, although that can't be overstated how important that is, because as we've seen for many teams around the league, getting the right quarterback can change around your franchise. Look at the Buffalo Bills. I'm a Buffalo guy, and Josh Allen getting to town, and by year two, he took a next step. And then last year, the Bills had a fantastic season, get all the way to the AFC title game. They've added pieces around him, but Josh Allen is the foundation of that team. So if the Bears found that with Fields, I think they will take off in the NFC North. And then later in round two, to get an offensive tackle, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, that a lot of people, including myself, thought was a first-round talent at 39 overall, I thought was very smart after you picked that quarterback. And then later, in the 6th round, Khalil Herbert, the running back from Virginia Tech, was one of the most elusive and difficult-to-tackle running backs in this entire class. He's not crazy fast, but for me, when you watch a running back, the most important skill is just that natural ability to make defenders miss. He can do that. I love Daz Newsome out of North Carolina. He was another one of their 6th-round selections. Very sudden, very elusive in the open field. He's a great returner. And I even like their 3rd 6th-round pick, Thomas Graham, who was an opt-out cornerback from Oregon. 32 pass breakups and 8 interceptions in his last 3 years for the Ducks. So you could say whatever you want about watching film and checking the pro day numbers. If you're having that much production on the football as a cornerback, you're doing something right. So I think from round 1 all the way to round 6 and even round 7, the Chicago Bears upgraded their team better than any other team in the NFL.
Chris Trapasso making my day somewhere. Jay Cutler's skin is burning because it feels so wrong. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, so for the Bears to be able to go up and get Fields at 11, some things had to happen. And one of those things, obviously, is the Denver Broncos with a new GM installed and in charge. Not theoretically, technically, supposedly John Elway making the decisions. The Broncos pass on a quarterback. What was your assessment of the Broncos' first decision in the draft and just their draft overall?
Well, what's fascinating about this, it came out right before, and we're still in this Aaron Rodgers saga. I thought right away when they picked Patrick Surtain over Justin Fields, and Mac Jones was still on the board there as well, that they maybe had something in the works with Aaron Rodgers. Because for their new GM, George Payton, and I've said it many times during the pre-draft process, that he was in Minnesota for the Brett Favre trade. He was in Minnesota when they signed Kirk Cousins to the first ever fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback. I thought he was definitely going to pick a quarterback at number 9 overall to start his tenure as a GM in Denver with a quarterback. We haven't seen anything on the Aaron Rodgers front fully materialize. If that does, I'm okay with that. But otherwise, if it does not happen, and I don't hate Drew Lock, I think they do deserve to keep him on the – or he deserves to be on the roster still. I think going corner over quarterback inside the top 10 was the wrong decision. I think Patrick Surtain is going to be a good player. I don't know if he's ever going to be amazing, but I do like what they did after that. Javonte Williams, the running back out of North Carolina, they get him right in front of the Miami Dolphins, trade up to make sure Miami doesn't pick him. Add him to that backfield. I don't know if it was necessary because they have Melvin Gordon, but he's a good player. Baron Browning, the linebacker from Ohio State, I think has the athleticism to be that sideline-to-sideline type. And then don't forget two defensive backs that they picked on day 3. Jamar Johnson, the safety from Indiana, was an absolute nightmare for Justin Fields and that Ohio State offense and that really tight game between the Buckeyes and the Hoosiers. In the fall, they get him in the 5th round. I think he's a good ball hawk. And then in the 7th round, Kerry Vincent Jr., an opt-out player, cornerback from LSU, all over the football in that LSU national title winning season of 2019. Very good nickel cornerback that we know is very vital today. So I think the Broncos did a good job in terms of their overall draft, generally speaking, but I really would have liked to see them address the most important position on the field in the first round.
Chris Trapasso here on the show. Chris, how'd the Jets do?
I think they did a good job overall based on how they built around Zach Wilson. And we know that that's vital to build around your young quarterback, Elijah Vera Tucker. I think that trade up for a guard was a little costly, but I think their GM, Joe Douglas, understands and just witnessed what happened to Sam Darnold, that they never really built around him. The skill position talent wasn't great. The offensive line was pretty porous. That probably precipitated that trade up to get an offensive lineman who is a very good prospect. Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss at 34 overall, a lot of people had him as a first-round pick to get him at the top of the second. And then Michael Carter, another North Carolina skill position player, in the 4th round. I think his pass catching ability and how good he is in space, he will be a favorite target for Zach Wilson on checkdowns, on screens, those high percentage throws that are very important for a young quarterback to just complete a pass and live to see another down early in his career. So for a team that needed offensive line help, needed better skill position talent, younger skill position talent to go offense, 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 offense with their first 4 picks, I think was very smart for this Jets organization that, too, is trying to find its first real quarterback in a very long time.
Chris Trapasso, let's say that the NFL draft was part Hunger Games, and whoever had the worst draft was in mortal danger, right? Was in big trouble. Who would be fearing for their lives today? Who had the worst draft?
The San Francisco 49ers, I did not like what they did beyond going Trey Lance over Mac Jones at number 3 overall. I think that was the correct decision. But after that, I mean, talking about building around your young quarterback, they pick Aaron Banks, the guard out of Notre Dame, at 48 overall. And what's interesting about this selection, why I didn't like it, Aaron Banks is a power blocker. He's not great on the move. He's not very mobile. And we know that Kyle Shanahan uses those stretch runs and likes mobile, agile offensive linemen. That's not just what Aaron Banks is. And we also know that Kyle Shanahan can get the most out of undrafted running backs, late-round picks. They pick Trey Sermon in the third round and then pick another running back in the sixth round. When they have Raheem Mostert, they got good production out of Jeff Wilson. I was surprised that they used two picks on a running back in this draft class, and then even another offensive lineman, Jalen Moore, that they picked in the fifth round. Similar player to Aaron Banks. He is a phone booth type of guy that's going to win in man-to-man situations and is not great getting laterally down the line of scrimmage for those outside zone plays that are a staple in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So I didn't hate what they did, but I thought of all the teams, they had the least inspiring and kind of most confusing draft class in 2021.
Chris, Urban Meyer is going to be such an interesting case study in a lot of things entering the National Football League. Talent, ego, the transition from the college game and success to the NFL. How did that first draft go for them?
Early on, I think it was okay. Later on, I wasn't as high on what the Jaguars did. And what you just introed that with is vital, because if Urban Meyer, if his ego's too big, if he thinks it's recruiting and he's just going to get the best players, like he mentioned, that's not going to happen in the NFL. There's not going to be as much of a disparity in the talent every single weekend like there was when he was at Florida and at Ohio State. His comments about Travis Etienne after the draft, that they drafted a third down back at number 25 overall, that's troubling. I mean, Etienne is a great prospect. He needs to be pretty much the feature guy, even if they have James Robinson there. If you're going to pick a running back in the first round, he's got to be getting a lot of touches. Walker Little, the offensive lineman from Stanford, kind of a high upside guy. We haven't seen him play since week one of the 2019 college football season. He got injured in that game and then opted out, but was a big recruit, looked like someone that was trending toward being a first-round pick, and they do have a need there at left tackle. So if he's healthy, I think that was a great value selection at 45 overall, especially after picking Trevor Lawrence. And I really liked Andre Sisco from Syracuse. They get him in the third round. Ball-hawking safety, had 7 interceptions as a true freshman, and then followed that up with 5 interceptions in 2019. Got injured early in 2020, but has elite range and ball-hawking skills. Later, Luke Farrell, the tight end from Ohio State, I'm not sure if Urban Meyer recruited him. I thought he was not a great athlete in the top 150 of him. And then Jalen Camp in the sixth round, very raw but fast wide receiver from Georgia Tech. So I like the players that they picked early on to build around Trevor Lawrence, but I agree with you. It's really not about this draft. It's about Urban Meyer keeping his ego in check and understanding that his team is going to have to win with X's and O's and good scheming and good play calling. He's not going to have a talent advantage at every position like he did in college.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Chris, last team-specific question. It is easy and sometimes fun to make fun of the Raiders and their decision-making. What is, with the benefit of hindsight and all of the picks in, what is the proper evaluation of the decision-making that came out of Las Vegas over the draft?
Well, this is kind of funny. You have to look at their first and their second-round picks, Allen Merrick, and flip them around, because everyone had down there the safety for TCU that they picked in the second round as a first-round talent. It's the second-round pick that the Raiders picked at number 17 overall. I actually liked Leatherwood as like an early second-round pick, so I didn't hate the selection at 17 because the Raiders had a mass exodus on our offensive line this offseason. And we know that the car is not crazy mobile. He's not an improvisational quarterback. So to say, hey, we're not going to be able to get this guy three in round two, let's just pick him here. I didn't hate it from that perspective. And then to get Trayvon Merrick, who to me was the best all-around safety in this draft class at a position that is becoming more valuable in today's NFL. You've got to be able to cover tight end, cover the slot, blitz, be a good run defender. Safeties are more valuable. And to get another good one there, I think was really important. And then one other player that I'll highlight, Malcolm Kuntz, the edge rusher from Buffalo, did not get to test during the pre-draft process because of injury. The biggest edge rusher in this class uses his hands pretty well, too, and we know that that Raiders defense has been pretty bad during the John Gruden era. They need more pass rushing help. Pair him with the safety, add to that secondary. I actually didn't hate what the Raiders did, although they got a lot of criticism right after the 2021 draft concluded.
All right, Chris Trapasso, appreciate you, buddy. You deserve four. I hope you get like 4 weeks of sleep. Hope that's like what follows after the draft. Thanks. Thanks for making time.
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot. Anytime.
All right, pal. Be good. Chris Trapasso on the program. Appreciate his insight and his perspective. Phone number 855-2124-CBS. By the way, one of you just Aaron Crow just broke me into a million pieces. Tweeted at me at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, a MLB tweet. This is a real MLB tweet. It's at MLB. I'm just going to read you the tweet. These baseballs are headed to a galaxy far, far away. And then it's literally guys swinging their bats, but they're lightsabers. I also hate it because it looks cool, but it's stupid and it's dumb. Also, a lightsaber would cut a baseball in half. Like, that's how that works. It'd be like the Kill Bill scene where he throws the baseball and Kiddo, Beatrice Kiddo, cuts it in half. Come on. God. So dumb. And it looks good. That's what makes me mad. You have kids all over America who think this is baseball. You know what's going to happen? They're going to be bored when they watch it. But where's the lightsaber? This is dumb. Let's go play video games. Cool. America got a little smarter. And by a little smarter, I mean a little dumber. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Let's make fun of John Elway next year on CBS Sports Radio.